Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Pei Tet, I'm going to outline by the two dots. Makom shenagu lamod begasa. So here the Gemara is discussing really a sifrei that is brought in Sefer Dvarim to explain the psukim with regards to being honest with measurements. The sa'ah is a volumetric measure. So the sa'ah is a utensil that holds that volume. So now when you pour in the volume, you can pour it in one of two ways. You can fill it up and then wipe across the top, and it fits exactly into this volumetric measure. Or you can keep pouring it, and it starts to pile up on top, or outside. Yes, it's one third. A heaping sa'a, which is, the Gemara claims, is a third above what is the volume that is inside. Tarabanan, minayin she'en mochakim b'makom shegodshim. How do I know, like our Mishnah told us, that you may not give a wiped off top in a situation or a locale where they are heaping the measurements? Vein gudshim b'makom shemochakim. And you're not allowed to heap the measurements in a place where they wipe out the top. Tamar lomar, the pasuk says, efash shlema. So again, here we already quoted this pasuk yesterday, which is, evin shlema v'tzedek yelach, efash shlema v'tzedek yelach. So here, they're quoting a part of that pasuk, which is Efesh Shlema. The Rashbam already points out that in the Sifrei, they quote the whole pasuk, Evin Shlema Vatzedek, in both cases. And then he thinks that they learn it out from the word Vatzedek, which is extraneous in this case, because it says Efesh Shlema Vatzedek Yelach. So the fact that the word Vatzedek is added on over here means that you have to go out of your way to make sure that there is Tzedek that is done. And we'll see the problems that might arise here, and why you must do that. Although the way that we have the Braita laid out, the first part of the Braita is learned out from Efa Shlema, which is without the word Vatzedek. Uminain Shemamar Haini Mochek Bemakom Shegodshim. I'm going to wipe off the top in a place where they heap the measurements. Ulafachot lo min adamim. And I'll reduce the price commensurate accordingly, and it'll be fine. Varini godesh b'makom shemochakim, or I will give a heaping measure in a place where they wipe off the top of the measure. Although siflo al adamim, and I will again accordingly raise the price so that it matches with the differential. The Gemara will tell us that godesh, that heap on top, adds a third to the measurement. She'ein shomim lo. How do you know that we don't listen to him? We don't allow him to do this. Tamar lomar efa shlema v'tzedek yelach. So here you see the addition of the words Vatzedek. So according to our way we have the Braita laid out, it's the first one is learned from Efa Shlema, and then there's a bigger Chiddush in the second part, that's Efa Shlema Vatzedek. Then in the second part, the Tzedek is the thing that is telling us that you can't do the second one. Efa Shlema is the first one, is that you have to be honest with your measures, and there might be something that is not honest. The Rashbam favors saying that it's from Vatzedek in both cases because of the way that he explains the case. In the first instance, where you have a locale that has one or the other practice, you're not allowed to deviate from the practice. The Rashbam says, Vafilu machil mocher, even if he's mochel, even if the parties are aware of the fact that they're changing, meaning that this is the practice and I'm changing it and we're both aware of it, and he's mochel on it and he agrees to it. The Rashbam says, despite that fact, it's not allowed. Because, and this is the Rashbam's view here, b'tzarech sheyeh ha'ifah shlema, shelo de'yavo lidei rama'ut. You can't come to any cheating from this. Dimosim kein, if they do it, even though these two parties are aware of this, and they forgive each other, they're waiving their rights in this case, shema yiro otam acherim. Others will see them in this practice, v'yomru kacha minhag. They'll think that that's the practice, v'yirameh alokeach et ha'mocher ha'mocher et alokeach. And then they'll use that to trick other people, or to cause that misunderstanding to be used against other people. And so, over here, he says that it's a case where everybody's aware of the situation, there's michila. He says if there was no michila, then it would be under the rubric of lo tasu avel b'mishpat, that cheating other people. And that's not what we're speaking about here. They're bringing a pasuk, not that says don't cheat people. It's saying that you have to have honest measurements. What's the issue of honest measurements over here if everybody's mochel? The idea being, and this, again, there's one quote later, is about tzedek, that what you do must also lead to tzedek. If you, what you do will lead to rama'ut, then your measurements are not doing tzedek, because they're causing injustice through other people. And that's why the Rashbam, I think, sees the word about tzedek being important in both of these situations, whereas others learn simply that this is a case where They're trying to trick each other. It's a case where the person is not practicing the minhag makom, and in that way, he's tricking the other party. And that's the problem over here, and that's why it says eifa shleima, that you have to be whole and honest with the way that you measure based on what the practice of minhag of the locale is. You can see in the Baalei Tosafot, the middle ground, which is not that they are tricking them, but in an instance where shemikna lo sachitin, they came to agreement, and then they make a kinyan to lock in the agreement. I'm selling you a sa'ah worth of chitim. Then, after the fact, he can't come along and say, oh, you know what? When I said to you I was going to give you a sa'ah, I meant a sa'ah that is flattened out at the top. Even though here they do a heaping measurement, I meant a flat top. And he says, well, we already have a kinyan, we have an agreement, and that was my understanding in the agreement. So that would be the quote-unquote cheating here. It's not that the other person's not aware of it, he's making a claim that that was his intent in the transaction. So that's a misleading type of transaction, because you entered into a transaction and the person assumed that the local moors would govern, and instead he comes along and says, no, that's not what I had in mind, I had something else in mind when we made the kinyan. And does what it says, and the other way around, if the lokeach has the upper hand, and he says, no, I meant a heaping measure, not a flat measure. So that's a middle ground about what the problem is here in terms of the cheating. Now, the second case, according to the Rashbam, where it is, I'm going to be mochek and I'm going to change the price to account for the difference that is there. Again, there, not only is there not mechila, mechila in the first case is without monetary compensation. The second case, the bigger chiddush, is that I'm giving you monetary compensation for the change. I'm going to give you a heaping one, and you're going to pay me more for it. I'm going to do a slice, I'm going to cut off the top, and you're going to pay less. So not only is it a waiving of the right, meaning that he's mochel, here he's paying him, he's compensating him for that differential, and despite that fact, you're still not allowed to do it for the same reason, which is the Ramayim. They're going to be cheaters here who are going to take advantage of people who saw what you did and didn't know about the change in price. They don't know that you adjusted the price, and they're going to think that this is the minhag makom, and people are going to take advantage of it. Obviously, the others who think that this is deception, that the person's going to do this in a deceptive way, that he's going to say, yeah, I'm paying you more, I'm paying you less, but he's not going to adjust the price accordingly or properly, and therefore he's going to end up cheating him. By the way, the Baalei Tosafot say that he made a kinyan already, and then after the fact, he's trying to change the circumstances that are there. So that's the way to explain this first braita. Then we have a second braita. Tanu Rabbanan, minayin she'ein ma'ayinin b'makom shemachrin. Again, this goes back to our Mishnah. There are two ways to weigh when you dealt with the Mishnah. There's a hachra'ah, which is a case where you weigh it, and then you give him an extra tefach to his side. So you weigh the side that he is buying towards him for a tefach. Ma'inin, we said, is a level. It's a case where he's weighing it exactly. And then we spoke about in the Mishnah about the girumim, which was the tosefet, the bonus that he gets above that flat. So how do you know that you're not allowed to measure on a flat basis, but makom shemachrin, in a place where they give an extra tefach? Vein machrin, but makom shemainin. And similarly, the other way around, you can't do it machriya tefach in a place where they do on a level basis. Tamalomar, ebin shlema. He says, you know what, I'll do it on a level basis in a place where they give a tefach, which means that I'm giving him less than he deserves in this place, but I'll reduce the price commensurate with the tefach that I'm not giving him. Or I'll give him an extra tefach in a place where they do it on a level basis. And I'll pay more for it and commensurate accordingly. She'ain shomim lo. How do we know you don't do that? Tamalomar even shlema vatzedek. So similarly over here, the vatzedek is added in the second case. For the Rishbam, he thinks vatzedek should be appear in both cases. And the situation is the same as the previous braita. You have the same exact problems. It's either that we're worried about what other people are going to learn from this and then be cheated by the fact that they saw this and others will take advantage of them. Or according to the Baalei Tosafot, it's where an agreement was made and then you're trying to change the terms after the agreement, not based on the local moors, or it's a case, according to the other Rishonim, that you're cheating. You're using this mechanism to cheat the other party or mislead the other party. Amar Rav Yehuda Misura, I have to read you the psukim so that you can understand the context in which he's saying this. The psukim in Dvarim, in Parshat Ki Teitzeise, Lo yelecha bikischa evin va'oven. You're not allowed to have two stones in your wallet, your pocket. Golak tana, one big and one small. Meaning that you use the big one to buy with and use the small one to sell with. So in essence, you are cheating people because you are using different weights in these situations. And similarly, lo yelecha eifa ve'eifa, golak tana. In your house, you can't have an eifa measure and an eifa measure. Here it seems to be a volumetric measure versus the weights that we were talking about before. Then the third pasuk is even shlema batzedek yelach, eifa shlema batzedek yelach, which is what we just quoted before. So then it says you have to have honest weights and you have to have an honest eifa. So the sukkim are broken down into three parts. One, don't cheat by an even. Don't cheat by an eifa. And then a third pasuk that says you should have an honest even and an honest eifa. So what Rav Yehuda Misura does is he breaks down or reparses the pasuk and says, lo yelecha bebeitcha, you won't have anything in your house. Your house represents your monetary possessions. It represents your wealth. Lo yelecha bebeitcha, you know why you won't have any wealth. You know why you won't have any possessions or you won't be successful. Matam, what's the reason? Mishum eifa ve'eifa. Because you have two different measures in your house. So he reparses the pasuk and says that it's like a vort on the pasuk, which is, you know why you're going to lose is because you're cheating other people. And similarly, lo yelecha bekitzcha, your wallet will not be full. You won't have money. You won't have possessions. Matam mishum evin v'oven. Again, because of the same problem, which is that you have two different weights. Aval, evin shlema v'tzedek. So then, the reverse now, in that third pasuk, he says, you parse it the same way. If you have an evin shlema v'tzedek, yelach, and you will have then. If you are honest in your business dealings, yelach, you will have. Eifa shlema v'tzedek, if you're honest with your eifa, yelach, then you will have possessions. Nice word on the pasuk, which says that you think that you're going to gain by cheating. By cheating, you accumulate wealth and you are successful. Because Baruch Hu says, in the end, I determine. You want to cheat, I'm going to tell you, lo yebe beitcha, lo yebe kischa. You won't have possessions in the end when you cheat. And if you're honest, where it seems like you're losing out, no, Hashem says, yelach, yelach, you will have, and I will provide for you. Tan Rabbanan, yelach, melameid, shemamidim, agardamim, limidot, ve'ein ma'amidim, agardamim, lisha'arim. So now here we have a bright dot. The bright dot seems to, the way that the Rashbam reads it, play on the extraneous nature over here, which is, it says, even shlema vatzedek yelach. Why does that mean yelach? It sounds like somebody has to impose it, or someone is going to ensure that that is the case. And that means that Beit Din interferes to make sure that that is the case. But over here, the Braita opens with the idea that mamidin agardamin are inspectors, but they are inspectors that can also fine or impose. They are enforcers as well. They can give people makot, they can fine them, they can ensure that it's done right. But that's only the midot. That is for the measures. We have these people in place to ensure that people are honest in their measures. Ve'im amidim agadamin l'sharim. But in terms of prices, we don't put in individuals to dictate price, or to ensure that there are price controls in place. So now, by midot, of course, we understand why you want someone there, to ensure that people aren't cheating when they're using measures, that there's a standard and there's a measurement. Just like when you, today in the modern day, you go to a gas pump, you want to be sure that the gas pump is pumping out what it says, so there is a sticker from the government that says that they measured it and checked it, that it gives out or it provides the volumes that it says it is providing. So similarly, you'd have that. But by price, you don't need price controls, because if you look in the Rashbam explains, Svaruhu, he says it's logical. Deino tzarich, you don't need people to dictate price. Demotelim korbi yoker, oto atzarich lema'ot, yitain bezol. Someone wants to sell at a higher price, someone else will come in under them and price it lower because they need the money, or they're more desperate to sell the transactions. V'yacholokhim etzlobim, korze bezol akorcho. In essence, the market will dictate the price. The market forces will ensure that the pricing is fair. And so you don't need to put people in there to ensure that the pricing is fair, because that's a natural outcome of the competition in the market. And the competition will ensure that you get proper pricing. The other way to look at it, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, Beinu Gershom brings an alternative, which is Shekol Adam Yesh Lo Rishut Lo Kir Tvuato Im Yafehu Mishel Chaveiro. You can't cheat on the measurements, but there's a qualitative difference. Quantitatively, you have to ensure that everybody is doing it fair. But there are qualitative differences between individuals, and if there are qualitative differences, they should be able to garner a price for that. So you can't dictate a fixed price, because then there's no differentiation between product, and that's not fair. There are quality differences. There are differences between the products, and therefore you should be able to charge different amounts based on that product differential. So the drasha from the pasuk says that we put in people to enforce this when there's a need for enforcement. When there's no need for enforcement, we don't put people in place. There is a third view with regards to the price controls, that when they say that we don't put in guard demean for price controls, it means that we're not going to control exactly the price, but we may set bands or ranges around the price. So that means that there will be maybe a minimum price. There may be a maximum price. We want a minimum price there because we don't want somebody either cornering the market, putting everybody else out of business. We might put a maximum price because we don't want people gouging the customers, but we will let it fluctuate between the two. So that's a third view as to what is meant here, but we don't put in inspectors. We put in broadband, but we're not going to need inspectors to enforce that because the market will enforce being between those bands, and therefore we don't need people to go around to make sure that that's the case. The Bein Nisiyah, Kimar, Gardamin, Ben Lemidot, Ben Lesharim. Despite that fact, the Exilarch put in place enforcers, inspectors, both for the issues of the measurements, as well as for pricing. Amalei Shmuel de Karna, Pok Tani Lehu, Mamidim, Agardamin Lemidot, Vein Mamidim, Agardamin Lesharim. Shmuel says, go out, Karna, and give the drusha, explaining that there's no necessity for these enforcers by the pricing. Nafak Darish Lehu, he went out and was Darish. Mamidim Agardamin, Ben Lemidot, Ben Lesharim. He went out and was Darish, just the opposite of what Shmuel suggested, in support of the Exilarch, that you need a guard demean. You need these inspectors and enforcers, both for measurements and prices. Amalei Mashemech, what is your name? Karno. He says, my name is Karno. Typically, Karno Be'ene. A horn or something should grow out of your eye. Nofak Le Karno Be'ene. And a horn did grow out of his eye. What's interesting about this is that there is a Gemara in Shabbat. Gemara in Shabbat talks about when Rav first came to Bavel, and Shmuel, who was a doctor, tried to cure Rav, and Rav was left in writhing pain over his stomachache, and he cursed Shmuel, because he thought the person who was doing it was trying to cause him pain. He didn't realize Shmuel was a doctor trying to help him. He ended up cursing Shmuel that he shouldn't have children, he shouldn't have male children, and the curse came true. And for that reason, Rav used to give kavod to Shmuel, despite the fact that he was greater than Shmuel. In that same story, there's also a story of an interaction between Karna and Rav. And a similar thing happens over there. Rav asks him his name, and because of the slight, he says, a horn should grow out of your eye. So here you have the story attributed to Shmuel over here, and there you have the story attributed to Rav. What the Rashbam suggests is, Igala Meimar, the Gamar Le Havaha. He brings down an answer that is found, a similar answer that is brought with regards to Levi. Levi injured himself by performing some acrobatics before Rabbi. The Gemara in other places brings that Levi was injured because he was disrespectful to Rabbi. Gemara says, which is it? Is it because he performed that acrobatic act? Or is it because he was disrespectful? Because it says, Hitiyah Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi. Gemara says, Havha Garmele. Both of them were the cause. Meaning that in performing that act, because he had been disrespectful to Rabbi, he was injured in performing that act in front of Rabbi. So that both of them are contributing factors. So the Rashbam seems to be referencing a similar concept here, which is that Karna affronted both Rav and Shmuel. They both cursed him, and so both of their curses together brought out this effect on him. Now, it's interesting, because we're going to see in a second that the Gemara finds support for Karna's position. So then why were they cursing Karna? And if you look in the Rashbam, in the Perusha Ikari, it says, Nafak Le Karna Be'enei, says that a horn grew out of his eyes, Lo Garsinan, that's not in the Girsa, and it never happened. So he solves the problem by saying that the Girsa doesn't exist. So either it's only true of the story by Rav, or it's not true at all. It didn't happen. They cursed him, but they were wrong because he had support for his position. And over here, the Gemara explains that, but that what the support is. Ve'ihu keman sabar. Who does Karna hold like? Ki had amar Rami bar Chama Rav Yitzchak mamidim agardamim ben amidot ben nesharim mipnei haramayim. That we do put in inspectors, enforcers with regards to price and not just with regards to measurements. And he has a misora of that from Rami bar Chama amar Rav Yitzchak. Now, what is the Ramaut that happens? The Rashbam was so convincing before. Market will solve itself in terms of price. You don't need to interfere with pricing in the market. Where do you get the Ramaim all of a sudden? So he suggests two things over here, the Rashbam. Mamtinin achim korto amocher bezol. They wait for the market to be finished. They wait for everybody to sell out of their produce. V'achagach mochrim biyoker. They basically are price gougers. They are people who are taking advantage of situations. They know at a certain point that the merchandise will run out, and then they come into the market with very high prices, and they know that people are desperate or need them at that point, and they overcharge at that point, and that's the Ramaim that we're speaking about. Lishna achrina mipnei Ramaim amochrim biyoker v'omrim shosifu b'mida. The other Ramaot that's possible over here is individuals who are misrepresenting what they are selling over here. I mean that they are doing it in a manner that represents that they are doing something of better quality. They're doing something that should garner a higher price. But in the meantime, that's not what they're doing. Underlying whatever they're doing, they're selling lower quality produce. They are not really giving extra, and they're just charging more. So it becomes an extension of cheating on the midot. It's cheating in price because you're making claims about the quality of your product or the quantity that you're selling. And you can see a similar thing within the Rabbeinu Gershom, based on continuing what he said before, that people, there's a difference in quality, and he says, Shalo ye'arev ra'a b'yafa, v'im karena b'yoker k'yafa. Right? That he doesn't mix up high quality stuff with low quality stuff, and then represented it as being high quality stuff. Because then he is cheating on the price, because he's representing a quality that doesn't really exist. So, in that latter explanation, the inspectors are really inspecting in terms of midot, but we don't extend beyond quantity to quality. And that's the Ramaot, is that people can cheat on quality as well. And that's why you need the inspectors to deal with it. According to others, this goes back to what we said before, that third explanation. Before they said you need to keep price bands, and you don't need people to check with keep that in that price band. Over here we say, Mipnei HaRamaim. There are people who are cheaters who are sneaky about it, and they move the prices outside the bands, and people won't be aware of it. They're not as careful about it, and they will get cheated, and so you need inspectors to ensure that they stay within the bands or that they're selling in an honest manner. So now the Gemara continues and says, Tanabanan, Hayav mechavesh mimenu litra, shokelo litra. If he asks for a litra worth of stuff, you give him a litra. Chatzi litra, half a litra, shokelo chatzi litra, you weigh out for him a half litra. Reveal litra, he wants a quarter litra, shokelo reveal litra. Then you give him a quarter litra. Gemara asks the obvious question, my kamash malach. He's asking for a weight. The guy is weighing it in that manner. What else would you expect him to do? What else do you expect from him? So Mar says, dematkininan matkale adhochi. Now it's telling you that we only institute measures until that point. So here again, the Rashbam brings two different explanations. The first explanation is that this exists from Beit Din Kadmonim. This is from very early Batei Din. They put in place what are the standard measures that you're going to use. But below that measure, they didn't institute measures because there people can play around with them. They can cheat with the measures below that price. And therefore, for measures or weights below that standard of a quarter litra, you use the standard coins that are out there. And that way you don't get people cheating with midot and the lower midot because you're using standard coins at that point in time as the counterweights and not a volumetric measure. That's what he says the Gemara intends, is that this is the lowest weight or measure that we put in place is a quarter litra. And if someone else wants to put in something less than that, we don't allow them to do that because of the cheating. People, well, when you get to the lower weights, it's hard to distinguish between them. Now, even though, if you look in the Rashbam Ikari, he notes, and we'll see this later in today's daf, really in tomorrow's daf, that the Gemara says, "Va'avagav de midot kelim, amrin in the kaman, dolo ati de mite, ikaya keretuva." When it comes to volumetric measures, we say that people don't get mixed up, even if the measures are very close in size. So then why over here are you worried about people getting confused when the measures are close in size? And there it's obvious or people notice the difference. Ikalameimar, you have to say, the mishkalot ate lemite. When it comes to weights, people make mistakes. That it's much harder to be discerning between a smaller weights, the little nuanced differences between them, versus kelim, volumetric kelim, where it's more obvious the difference in size. So he says people have an eye for the difference in volumetric sizes. They don't have an eye for weight differences because they won't always be by appearance. It has to do with density. It has to do with the weight of the object, the shape of the object. Therefore, it's harder to be discerning in that case. So that's what he says the problem. That's one way that he explains it. Just so you know that the Rabbeinu Gershom says the pachot, less than amount, the Rashbam said that you use coins. He says, ein tzarich mishkal ela lefi omed, that you do it just based on estimation. Once you get down to those small numbers, you can use an estimate. People aren't so makbid on that amount, and that's why you don't need measures below that. The Rashbam then brings an alternative from the Rabbeinu Chananel, which is that they were metakne mishkalei binyan zeh. They did a quarter, a half, and a whole. Below shlish litra, below chamishit. Not a third and not a fifth. V'nei shemat in behen. Because then people cheat or make mistakes with them. You have to be at least two times off, or basically double. You have a quarter to a half, and then a half to a litra. That is something that people can see or notice the difference between them. But if then you start putting in a third and a fifth, which are around the quarter, people are going to get confused between the third and the quarter and the fifth. Or if you put in a 5/8 weight, they're going to be confused between the 5/8 and the half. So you need to have enough separation between the midot. That's what it means over here. They put these midot in place. They put these midot in place, and then you can't fill in between them because of the fact that they'd be too close. And then again, that goes back to what we just saw in the Rashbam, that even though by volumetric measures we said you can get closer than that, but that's because people have an eye for that differential versus over here where they don't have such an eye for that differential. Tarabanan, Hayam Vakesh Mimenu Shlosha Rivei Litra. He requested to buy 3/4 of a litra worth of meat. So now, over here, we don't have a 3/4 weight. So you have a number of options about how to deal with this. You can put a half and a quarter, you'll get 3/4. You can weigh 3 times 1/4. Or, the way that the Gemara is going to come out with is, Lo Yomar Lo Shkoli Shlosha Rivei Litra. Achad achad. He shouldn't say to him, weigh it for me 3 times 1/4, one at a time. Elashokya litra, omeniach revia litra ima basar. You put a whole litra on one side of the scale, and then with the meat that you're going to buy, you put a quarter on the other side. So you have a one on one side, a quarter on the other side, that nets to the 3/4, and then you put the meat, and that'll give you the 3/4 litra that you want. So that way, it's clear. Again, here, the problems, and you can tell from the context here, the problems are ramaot, because we're worried about the fact that the individual is not going to be so careful. If he does it with a quarter, quarter, and a quarter, he could leave out one of the weights one time, he could move around the weights. Over here, it's very clear when you put a whole litre on one side, a quarter litre on the other side, that you're clearly getting 3/4. You don't have to add up a whole bunch of cumulative numbers. It's a one-shot thing, and therefore it's easier to measure. It prevents, again, this ramaut. The Rashbam over here says that's only in a place where they're not machriya. It's in a place where they don't give you the extra tefach. Because if it's a place where they give you extra tefach, then actually the buyer is going to lose out because he's getting that tefach, he's losing out because he has a quarter weight on the other side. To be honest with you, I'm not sure I totally understand what he is saying over here because the machriya of a tefach says that I allow the scale to go down a tefach on the side of the buyer. And so therefore, it requires more weight on that side to bring it down. So you put additional items. If you have 3/4 weight on the other side and then you're machriya tefach, or if you have a quarter weight on this side and a hole on the other side, you still have to give the same amount to get it down to the 3/4. The Rashbam over here claims that it would take less weight to get it down if you had one on one side and a quarter on the other side versus a case where you had 3/4 on one side and just the basar on the other side. Maybe it's my shortcoming. It seems to me that it would be the same 3/4 that you have and that you end up with the machriya. It might be part of the laws of physics and how the scales work that maybe it does have an impact. The Rashbam says because of that, it can only be in a place where they are not machriya. In a place where they are machriya, you would have to use 3/4 on the other side. Tanrabanan. Hayam mevakesh menu eser litrin. He was asking him for 10 litrin. Lo yomar lo shkoli achat achat. Again, he can't ask him to weigh it out one at a time. v'echriya, and then each time you're going to be machriya the tefach. El shokelo kulan bebat achat. He weighs it all in one shot. V'noten echriya achat the kulan, and then he gives him one extra tefach for that one piece. Again, here, if you do a tefach each time, then on a percentage basis, it shouldn't matter. You should come out with the same thing. If you do 10 and you do a machriya tefach, or you do one at a time and you're machriya tefach, in the end, you should net out to the same amount. But what the Rashbam points out, and we mentioned this yesterday, shum di efshar letzamtzem umafsida mocher. It's impossible to be exact each time. The guy about machriya tefach, that's like a loose type of measurement. And if the mocher keeps on having to do it 10 times, he's going to give a little more each time to be sure that he got the machriya tefach. And then that accumulates to give the buyer more than he should get. If he weighs it in one shot, he gives him the machriya tefach. He gives him a drop more one time. That's very different than each time trying giving him extra there. And that's why we worry about it. Here it's for the protection of the seller. And the previous case, we were talking about it, protection of the buyer. And as the Rashbam points out, even though in the Mishnah it says that there were places that had a minog to be lamud bidaka, to measure in smaller measures, hani mile midot, that is true when we're dealing with measuring items. A mishkalot, when it comes to weights, ein derech lishkol ki makol biyachad mishkal gadol. The proper way and the only way to do it is in bulk, and not to do it in separate components, even though we have such concept by volumetric measures, but that doesn't apply by weights. Now, Tan Rabbanan, nefesh mo'znayim tluya be'avir. So if you have a mo'znayim that is hung from the ceiling, the truth is it doesn't really matter if it's hung from the ceiling or it's on an upright. We're going to speak about here, we're talking about a scale. And what the Braita is going to tell us is that the scale has to be built in proportion, because otherwise you're going to get skew in the way that you weigh it. Gimel tfachim, you have to have it hanging in the air, 3 tfachim. Ugvoa min aretz, 3 tfachim. It has to be off the ground, 3 tfachim. Vikano umitna, and the pole and the strings, shelah 12 tfachim, have to be 12 tfachim. So let's just explain the structure of the scale. The kaneh is the piping or the beam that goes across the scale that holds up the two sides of the scale. It goes horizontally across, and at each end of it, you hang a bowl that you put the weights in, and then you put the merchandise in. So that is the kaneh. The mitna are the strings that hold up the kapot, that hold up the bowls, or the placement, the place where you put the weights and the produce into. So here we're talking about the cross beam and the strings that hang from it. Then they have the nefesh ha-moznayim. There is, the Rashbam claims over here that there's a lashon. The lashon is the upright. The lashon is either the string that is from above or the upright from down below, which is the supportive item that holds the kaneh in the middle. And then there's a nefesh moznayim. The nefesh is the fulcrum point. That is the point of the fulcrum where the string from the ceiling meets the kaneh, or it is the point where the upright meets the kaneh. That is the fulcrum that has to be dead center in order to have the weight to be proper. That's called the nefesh moznayim because that's the key place where everything gets determined in terms of weighing. Some suggest that the nefesh is not just that fulcrum point, but it's the whole mechanism of the string hanging and the fulcrum, or the upright and the fulcrum. And then the lashon is the arrow or pin in the middle that moves back and forth inside of the nefesh in order to indicate where you are in terms of your weighing. You have to get it centered, and it'll be inside the nefesh if it's equal, and it'll come out to the sides if it is skewed to one or the other side. But the brightness says over here, and we're going to see a number of these, is number one, in this scale, you have to leave a minimum of 3 tfachim between the kaneh and the ceiling. Because otherwise, when it gets weighed down, it will hit the ceiling, and you won't get proper weights, because you won't be allowed for the flexibility of it to move, and then you could cheat with it. The same is true below. The bowls that hang from the strings, they meet a minimum of 3 tfachim from the ground, so that they don't hit the ground, and also cause a skew in the weighing. That's number one. Number two is the kaneh itself. The length of the kaneh and the length of the strings have to be in proportion. That's important because of the law of physics, which is that if you don't do that, and that the kaneh is very long and the strings are very short, or the other way around, the kaneh is short and the strings are long, you have a disproportionate impact in terms of the weight, or you'll have a muted effect of the weight, which is because of the law of physics, if you have it hang further away from the kaneh, or you hang it much closer to the kaneh, it will have different types of leverage on the fulcrum, and therefore the weighing precision will be affected by that. And so therefore the braita is telling you that you have to have a proportion. Now, it doesn't exactly explain the proportion. It says 12 tfachim. Doesn't explain whether that means that the kaneh is 12 tfachim, and then the two strings are 6 each, so you have a total of 12 and 12, so that equals out, or is 12 tfachim between all of them, which means that the kaneh has to be 4 tfachim, and each of the strings are 4 tfachim, so they sum to a total of 12. It's not clear here from the braita which way it's saying it, but in either case, it's just telling you that there has to be a certain amount of proportionality between the kaneh and the strings. That is the first presentation of the braita. The braita then goes on and says, v'shel tzamarim, v'shel zagagim. When you're talking about people who sell wool, or you're talking about people who sell glass, then, tluya be'avir, if it's hanging in the air, it has to be shtei tfachim, has to be two tfachim off the ceiling, ugvoh min aretz shtei tfachim, it has two tfachim away from the ground, kovakaneh mitna shela, and the pole across, and the strings have to be a minimum of 9 tfachim. Same problem, it's, I don't know if it's 3, 3, and 3, or it means 9 tfachim kaneh, and then 4.5, 4.5 for the mitna. Now, what is clear here is that we moved from the first case in the braita to the second case in the braita. The second case in the braita has a smaller requirement than the first case. The second case in the braita tells us who is measuring or who is weighing on these scales. It's at Samarim and Zagagim who weigh heavy items. Since they weigh heavy items on there, they need more give in the scale. That's why they need more space between the ceiling and the floor. And that's why they need longer kaneh and bigger or longer strings on the mitna. But it's clear that the first case needed something even bigger than that. But the braita didn't define for us who that was. That would be the question at the end of the braita. Then the next scenario is, v'shel chenvani, v'shel balabayit. When you're talking about a storekeeper, the balabayit, luya bavir tefach, it has to be a minimum of a tefach away from the ceiling. Uvom in aretz tefach, it has to be a minimum of a tefach off the ground. Kaneh mitna shela shisha tfachim. And then the pole across and the strings have to be a minimum of 6 tfachim. So here we're going down. The chenvani and the balabayit weigh lighter items, and less than the tzamar and the zagag, and therefore they need a scale which can handle smaller items. They need a smaller scale. Yeah, we just talked about before a gross scale, and over here you have something that is standing on a smaller basis. And so therefore you need a smaller scale with smaller clearance and smaller kaneh. All of those items are relevant because of what they are weighing. Veshel turtani. And then for the turtani, you can see over here in the Rashbam, turtani is moznaim shel kesef v'zahav. It's somebody who's selling metals, but precious metals, and they are smaller because they are smaller quantities that you are measuring. And he says that a smelter is called a turtani, and the reason of obviously that he is the person involved with these precious metals because he's smelting them to get a purified metal that he's going to sell. And so here, the precision of the scale is much more important because you're dealing with smaller items. Here, the skew would have a bigger impact because of the precious nature and the price that you're paying for these items. And therefore, his scale is, tluya ba'avir shlosh etzbaot. It only has to be 3 etzbaot away from the ceiling. Gvam in arit shlosh etzbaot. It has to be 3 etzbaot off the ground. Kaneh mitna shela, eni yodea. The pole and the mitna, I don't know what the measurements are for that. That's what the Tana of the Braita says. So now the Gemara asks, velahach kamaita demai. We defined along the way three different scales. There was the scale of the wool sellers and the glass sellers. There was the scale of the chenvani and balabait. And then there was the scale of the precious metal sellers. But there was a first case, but we didn't define who uses that scale. Amar Rav Papa, digrume. It is for the digrume. Obviously, whoever this first person is in the first selling, he needs a very large scale, because the measurements there were the largest measurements we saw. He's obviously measuring or weighing the heaviest things that you're going to find. And over here, the Rashbam explains that digrume are in sorfei nechosha du barzel. They are people who smelt copper and iron, nifachim, blacksmiths, shuklim chatichot gidolot. They weigh things like a mealitro. They weigh very, very heavy items. As opposed to the smelters of precious metals, where they have very small quantities, These are people smelting non-precious metals. The non-precious metal come in these huge quantities, and therefore they need these very large scales to deal with it. And therefore that's what we're speaking about in the first case of the Braita. Alright, the Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, you could say, says, the Gudmani, Shoklim ben Barzel Shachuk, Huchit Shachuk, that they use it for metals and glass that have been shaved down or carved down. It probably sounds like these are larger broken pieces of whatever it is, and they're weighing these very heavy items. So that is what Rav Papa suggests is the beginning of the Mishnah. Then, Amar Rabbi Mani Bar Patish, Kederach Shamru Linyan Itzuran, Kach Amru Linyan Tumatan. The same way that this din, the Braita brought over here, has to do with Isur. The Isur is to be honest in your measures and your weights. So here it's telling you how to be honest in your measures and your weights. So too, the din is the same for Tumah. The way the Rashbam reads this is, the Lo Chashiv Kli, came into Asur Lishko Ben. If you don't use these exact measures, you don't set up the scale in that way, it's not classified as a Kli. It's not classified as a Kli, it's not Mikabel Tumah. So that is the view of the Rashbam over here, that the question of being Mikabel Tumah has to do whether it has a Shem Kli or doesn't have a Shem Kli. It only gains a Shem Kli if you conform with the proper standards of how to make a scale. Many disagree with the Rashbam. You can see it in the Balei Tosafot over here, because of the problem that the kapot, the weighing or the areas of the scale where you put the items in, have a Beit Kibul in them. Since they have a Beit Kibul, they're Mekabel Tumah, irrespective of whether it's a Kli or not, because a Beit Kibul is Mekabel Tumah. So they suggest, and you can see this in the Balei Tosafot, Mefarish Ri Bar Mordechai Ulinia Dot Ktani Lo. Now the question is not that whether this is Tameh or not, the kapot or the karot, the bowls, are for sure going to be Mekabel Tumah. The question is, like in a pot, that you have a handle that comes out of it, with regards to Tumah, a yad has certain dinim. It's able to bring Tumah to the Kli. It's able to pass Tumah from the Kli out. Because it becomes an extension of the Kli, it takes on the properties of the Kli, even though it doesn't qualify as a Kli. Kli requires a Beit Kibul, at least for certain materials. So here you have a Beit Kibul and a handle. The handle doesn't have that Beit Kibul, but it takes on, since it's an access point, or it is the way that you pick up this Kli, it becomes, quote unquote, a part and parcel of the Kli. And therefore it takes on the properties of the Kli. In the Mishnayot, in Makshirin, there's much discussion about Yadot and what exactly is classified as a Yad and how a Yad is different or similar to a Kli. But what the Balei Tosafot suggests over here, that's what's going on. The Mitna and the Kaneh are flat pieces. They don't have a Beit Kibul. Or are they classified as a yad to the kapot, to the bowls that are hanging from them? The answer is, if you create it like a kli properly, they become yadayim to the kapot. If you don't create it properly, then they're not yadayim because you haven't set up something that is supposed to remain in this way or is going to stay in this way. And so that's what he says, kacham yulin and tumatan. Over here, the tumah that we're speaking about is whether this is a yad or this is not a yad. Maika mashmalan. What is he teaching us over here? Rav Mani Bar Patish, Tanina. It's an explicit Mishnah. Chut moznaim shel chen vanei v'shel balabatim tefach. Just like we saw in our Braita that we brought over here, the Mishnah in Kelim tells us that when you get the scale of a chen vanei or a balabait, which was mentioned there, it's a tefach. It has to be at least a minimum of a tefach away from the ceiling or a tefach away from the ground. Gemara answers, Kaneu mitna shela itzrichalei. Delotznan. The Kaneh Mitna weren't mentioned in that Mishnah in Kelim. Our Braita actually gives us that information about what the size of them is. And that's what we're learning over here. We're learning that additional information. For the Rashbam, that means that that's what makes them into a Kli. For the others, that's what makes them into a Yad. If they're done properly, it makes them into a Yad. So the additional information is the Kaneh and the Mitna over here. And you can see that the Gemara doesn't mention Kapot, because the kapot are mekabel tuman. That's what is the proof of the other Rishonim would disagree with the Rashbam, that you see that the only thing the Gemara is focused on here is the kaneh mitna, not the kapot, because it's not about making it to a shame kli, it's on whether these are now properly situated so that they become a yad to the kli. Tanabanan, Einu simishkalot, lo shel ba'atz, velo shel avar, velo shel gisteron, velo shel shar minei matechot. So one is not allowed to make weights out of tin, not out of avar, which is lead. You can see that the lead and over there is plumba, PB, which is the symbol for lead. Velo shel gisteron, which the Rishbam brings as being mixed metals. It's a mix of different metals. Velo shal sharmine matechot. And not from any other type of metal. The reason given by the Rishbam is mipnei shepuchatim ve'olchim, that they get rubbed down. As you use them, they get rubbed down, and therefore they're not going to maintain their integrity as a weight. Actually, all the metals that I mentioned here, as you're noting, are softer metals. It actually starts out with the softest metal and moves to harder metals. But they all seemingly are soft enough that they wear down over time, and therefore they're not going to be accurate weights, or they rust, and therefore they're not going to be accurate weights. The Balei Tosafot disagrees. You can see that Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Davka Mishkalot Shoklim Basar Vishuman. It's not about wearing them down. It has to do with what you are weighing with them. He says it's davka with meat and fatty items, shalach luchit midabek b'hem, that the fattiness and the liquid sticks to it, umit yabesh, and then it dries on it, and then it causes it to the add to the weight. V'lo mitam shchika deper shekotches, and not wearing it down or the rubbing it down that the Rishbam mentioned. And he says, about mishkalot shoklim ben kesef zav mutar lasotam shematechet. When you're speaking about weighing precious metals, there you're allowed to use metal weights because there's no fat. There's nothing that's going to stick to the weight. For the Rishbam, it doesn't matter what you're weighing. You can't do it because the weights are going to wear down over time and they're not going to be accurate. For the Rabbeinu Tam, it only matters what you're weighing. If it's something that you're weighing that's going to get onto the mishkalot and then cause it to dry on it, and coagulate on it, and therefore it's going to make the weights be more, that's a problem. But by matechot, by metals, where you're weighing metals, there's nothing to worry about in terms of something sticking to the weights. El shetzarech lechapoto ba'or. It just happens to point out that you have to put a casing around them. You have to put leather around them. Says over there, because they are flat, nothing sticks to them, you can rinse them off or you can wash them, and it's not a problem. But only v'davka mishkalot ktana shusholim ba'kesef av tzarich lechapot bor. Only very small weights do you have to put into leather. Shebishchika mu'etet yavol lidei hafsed gadol. Because over there, even the slightest deviation will cause huge fluctuations in price. And so over there, you have to protect them. So not only do you have to use, you can use metal weights, but you have to protect them and put them into leather. So that's what the Rishbam saw, and then he extrapolated that to everything. The Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's unique to metals and precious metals, and when you're using metal weights, because there the accuracy is very important, and so there you have to protect the weights. Other weights, when you're bigger size weights that are metal, they get a slight nick in them, or a little chip in them, it's not going to make a huge difference in price, and therefore we don't worry about it. You don't have to store them inside of leather. All right, now the Gemara continues. Tanur Banan. Eino sima machak. Machak is the stick that you run across the top to flatten it out. In places where they don't sell a heaping measure, they sell a flat measure, you have to run something off over the top to slice off whatever is in excess of the rim or the brim of the utensil. So that, you can't use a dalat, mipnei shukal, because it's too light. Velo shel matechet, and you can't use a metal rod to do this, mipnei shumachbid, because it's too heavy. So if it's too light, it leaves too much there. If it's too heavy, it takes too much off. Aval useu shel zayit, he has to make it out of olive wood, mishel egoz, walnut, shel shikma sycamore, veshel eshbroa, or eshkroa, which is boxwood. So you have to make it out of something that is not too heavy, but it is solid, not too light. Right, solid, stiff, and something that is not too light, not too heavy. And here it gives you examples of items that will make it fair for both the mocher and the lokeach. Tarim banan, eno simet machak tzido achad av, v'tzido achad katsari. You can't make the machak to have one side that is narrow and one side that is wide. So now the way that the Rishbam reads this is that we're worried about Ramaot over here. We're worried that depending on which side he leads with, we'll have different impacts on what he wipes off. If he leads with the thicker side, it's going to take off more. If he leads with the thinner side, it's going to take off less. And what the Rishbam says we're afraid of is that he's going to use a different side depending on whether he's a buyer or he's a seller. When he's the buyer, he's going to use the thin side. When he's the seller, he's going to use the thick side. And so it's the equivalent of having two different weights around because you have two different sizes or shapes to your machak because it's not exactly square. It is narrower on one side and thicker on the other side. That's the way that the Rishbam learns. On the other hand, there are others who just suggest that it's problematic, similar to what we saw in the previous braita. If you use such a machak, it's going to give you a result that is not a fair result. It's either going to dig in too deep, or it's going to float across the surface, and it's not going to give you the proper type of mechika that you're looking for. Lo imchok bevat achat. You shouldn't do it in one shot. Shemochek bevat achat, ra lemocher. If you do it in one shot, it's bad for the seller. The way that the Rashbam learns it is that when you go across quickly in one shot, you tend not to take it off evenly. You leave extra behind, and therefore the lokech benefits, but not the mocher loses. V'yafel lokech. Obviously, it's a benefit to the lokech. V'lo yimchok ma'at ma'at. And you shouldn't go along little bit by little bit. Do a little bit, pick it up, clean it up, go a little more. Because then it is ra lokech. It's bad for the lokech. V'yafel mocher. Because over there, you're going to take it off more than you should. Ella, what you should do is, and that's not, the Braita doesn't tell you, but the Rashbam tells us what you should do. It is, either you should do it, bebat achat benachat, you should do it in one shot, easily and smoothly, or you should do it in two nice movements across. So you have to do something that is, again, the middle ground. Not something that's quick and one shot, and it's not something that is very slow. You have to do some middle ground. That middle ground is you do it in one shot, but a little slower. Or you do it in two shots, and that's enough to make it that it'll work out evenly, and it should be good for both the buyer and the seller. It's a middle ground in how you wipe it out. Al kulan amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And all these things where we're worried about Ramaut over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made the following statement. Oili im omer, woe is to me if I say it. Oili im lo omer, woe is to me if I don't say it. Im omer, if I say it, shema yomadua ramaim. Because maybe the cheaters will learn. Meaning that over here we're talking about ways to cheat people, and they're going to learn the tricks of the trade from this. So maybe they are already tricksters, but they don't know all the different tricks. If we disclose this, then they have new weapons in their arsenal to cheat people. So maybe we shouldn't say anything. Vim lo omer, if you don't say anything, shem yomru am ramayim, ein tamidei chachamim bikim asayadeinu. Then maybe they'll start to think that the chachamim don't know what we're up to. So then they won't be either careful about it, because they don't think that it's going to be enforced. They don't think that the Chachamim are smart enough to figure out what they're cheating on. Or that it's important to tell people so people know not to get cheated. So it's not just for the Ramayim, it's for the innocent victims who are going to get cheated that they should be aware of this cheating. So what are you going to do? We can't disclose, but we want to disclose. So you buy lo, Amra or lo Amra? So I'm going to ask, what did he do in the end? Did he disclose it or not disclose it? Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amra. He did disclose it. Umihai kra Amra. And he did it based on this pasuk. Ki yisharim darchei Hashem, v'tzadikim yachubam, u'poshlim yikashlubam. The ways of Hashem are straight. The tzadikim will do the right thing with it. The rishayim will do the wrong thing with it. Meaning that the same information is beneficial to some and will be detrimental to others, but you have to do what you have to do. Yisharim darchei Hashem. Our job is to do, teach the Torah, to teach what is here and to give the information. How people use it, whether it's beneficial or detrimental, that the people who are getting the information, they'll make that decision. That's true of any piece of information. That's true of anything that you do in life, that the tzaddikim will utilize it the right way, the rishayim will utilize it the wrong way. All right, Tanu Rabbanan. Lo tasu avel b'mishpat. One may not be unjust in their mishpat. Mishpat over here doesn't mean a judgment. Mishpat here means the adjudication of measurements. When somebody measures something, they are a judge. And so in the mishpat over here is the mishpat of weighing or measuring. It's found in the pasuk in Pashat Kiddushim, where it says, Lo tasu avel b'mishpat, b'mida, b'mishkal, u'b'misura. Muznei tzedek, avnei tzedek, eifat tzedek, v'hin tzedek yelachem. Ani Hashem elokeichem, asher hotzeiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim. So over here, what the Gemara says, Lo tasu avel b'mishpat, b'mida, mishkal, u'misura. Bemida, what's a mida? Zo midat karka. That's the measurement of area. Shaloyim do lechad bimotachama, or lechad bimotach shemim. You shouldn't measure for one person in the summertime, and one person in the wintertime. The way the Rashbam explains it is that they used to use strings made out of linen, out of pishtan, and the string was affected by the weather. When it was hot and dry out, it shrunk. When it was wet and moist out, it expanded. So you're going to get inaccurate measurements if you do one measurement in the summer and one measurement in the winter. The way the Rashbam explains it, it's you have two brothers who are splitting up property, or you have two partners that are splitting up, and you measure for one partner in the summer, one partner in the winter, one brother in the summer, one in the winter, you're not going to get a fair measurement. If you do all your measurements at the same season, then it's going to be fine, because then the two parties who are splitting it, they have the same yardstick or the same measure. So then it doesn't matter. The problem is when you do it for them at different seasons, when there's a change in the string. The Rashbam quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel an alternate pshat, which is that actually the ground changes. That during the summer, the ground expands because it dries up and it cracks and it expands. And during the wet season, it gets watered down and moistened, and therefore it clusters more. It's more dense or tightly packed, and therefore it is smaller. So he says there's actually a change in the physical properties of the ground, and therefore it affects the measurements. So that's the explanation of the Rabbeinu Chananel. That's with regards to midah. Bimishkal, what do I mean by weight? So midah is area, measurements of area. Mishkal is weight. Shalo yatmin mishkalotav bemelach. That you shouldn't put salt into your weights. The way that Rashbam learns is that if you put salt into your weights, you're actually going to cause them to weigh more. So say there's a hollow area inside of the metal, but the metal weighs the exact weight that you're supposed to have. So if you go ahead and stuff salt into that empty space, you're going to cause the weights to be heavier. That's the way that the Rashbam learns it. You can see the Balei Tosafot say just the opposite. It says, "Vein nira l'Rabbeinu Tam, mefaresh Rabbeinu Tam l'fisha melach mekel ha-mishkalot v'sho'ev." That the melach actually causes the weight to be lighter, and it draws liquid or moisture out of the weight. So if you put salt inside of the weight, say it was supposed to be metal and made out of a full or solid metal, instead, you put salt in the middle, so it's going to weigh less, because the salt weighs less than the metal. It looks like the size of the weight that it's supposed to be, but it's filled with salt instead of with metal, and therefore it's not going to have the proper weight. Or you say that salt eats at the metal. Instead it eats at the metal, or it corrodes the metal, it's going to cause there to be less weight in the metal. Or a shoeiv, if you say that somehow it draws or drains the liquid or the moisture out of the metal to the point where it weighs less because of the salt that's there. So Balei Tosafot see it as being, it's too light, and the Rashbam sees it as being too heavy. It doesn't really matter, it's just that you're not allowed to cheat with your weights. And then we have umisura. So these are liquid measurements. Shelo yertiach, that you can't allow it to foam up. If you look in the Rashbam, he says that the artiach happens when you pour something quickly into a utensil. There tends to be the foam that builds on the top. And if you then sell the item with the foam at the top, you've cheated the individual out of that excess part of the measurement, because you gave him foam instead of the product that is supposed to be there. You can see here in the Rashbam, he calls it ashkoma balas, which is probably scum, or the bubbling that goes on the top. We have it today with carbonated drinks. You can see it very obviously. But it's true when you have wine and certain other items that you pour quickly, there's a foam that forms on the top, and that foam is deceiving. And that's what it means by misura, that you have to be honest in that case. You have to make sure to fill it to the top and not use the scum to fill in, the foam to fill in the measure. V'kal v'chomer. And for there you would have a kal v'chomer. Uma misura. Misura is a liquid measurement, which is 1/36th of a log. It's a very small liquid measure. And despite that fact, it's 1/36th of a log. Hikpid alav Torah. Despite that fact, the Torah was makpid, that you don't give foam there instead. You're talking about a very minimal amount. It's already 1/36th of a log. Even if you pour a liquid in there and there's a little foam on top, it's very minimal, the amount of foam that you have there. The Rashbam says it's less than 1% of it is foam. Nevertheless, the Torah says that you're cheating if you put foam in there. Kal v'chomer, from there you'd be a kal v'chomer to much larger measures, where the foam would be a much more significant part of the measure. So kal v'chomer lehin, hin is 12 log, chatzia hin is 6 log, shlishita hin is 4 log, revi'ita hin is 3 log, vilog, that's a single log, v'chatzi log and a half log, revi'it, that's the standard revi'it that we speak about, is revi'ita log, is a quarter of a log. And then the Brayta says, v'chatzi tuman v'uchla. And then the Gemara will ask later on, what is the v'uchla? Rashbam over here says, tuman is shminit kav, is 1/8 of a kav, which is a chatzi log. It's 1/8 of a kav, which is equivalent to a half log. So therefore, if you have a chatzi tuman is 1/16 of a kav, which is equivalent to a quarter log. V'uchla, we have to figure out what this uchla is. Tell us what it has over here. Problem of the foaming at the top. Why isn't it just simply a problem of lo tigzol? you're stealing from the person. So the Baya Tosafot suggests over here that it's really to be over on two lavin. One lav is obviously the theft when you go through with doing this, but there's a second lav that you shouldn't engage in this type of activity. He says the same thing by the mishkal, putting the salt in the mishkal, that you have an isur lav to make a weight that has salt in it, there's a restriction against it. Then if you use it, there's also a restriction of lo tigzol. So there are two lavim. One lav is to generate weights or measures that are dishonest. And then there's a second problem, which if you use them, then you are stealing. And similarly, by the hartacha, with the foaming, pouring it in a way that creates that foaming, there's an isur in that. And then if you go through the transaction, then there's an isur of lo tigzol. So again, it's to increase the lavin, but it's not that they're simultaneous. It actually moves the isur earlier on in the process to say you're in violation, even if you're not stealing in that moment, even if you are measuring in that manner or using weights in that manner, you're already in violation of the law of not cheating people with regards to weights and measurements. Am Rav Yehuda Marav, Asur la'adam she'yishe'em midah chaseira o yoteira b'toch beito. Person may not keep around any measures that are not proper in his house, because there's a risk then that somebody else might use it or he might use it. Even if you made it into a urinal, which is that nobody would put food there, nobody would use it anymore, nevertheless you can't keep it around because you may wash it out, clean it up, and then use it as a dishonest measure. It's only true in a city where they don't get a seal from the inspector. In a city where they get a seal from the inspector, if there's no seal or signed indication that this was past muster with the inspector, the buyer is not going to allow him to use it, or the seller is not going to allow him to use it. Since there is a regiment by which we can determine if a kli is honest or not, then it doesn't matter that you keep it around, because this one's not going to have the chatima of the inspector on it, and therefore, no, you can't cheat some about it. Even in a city where they don't have inspectors going around and giving a stamp of approval to the measures, that it's only in a place where there aren't inspectors who come around and spot check. If there are these inspectors that come around, then there is no problem. So even though there's no standard measure or signing off on the measure, nevertheless, there are these inspectors that do spot checks. They come in and out, and he'd be too scared to use it because they might catch him using this dishonest measure. The Gemara says, Velohi. That's not true. Zimne de mikre ben shmashot u'mikre v'shakyo. Sometimes it happens right before nightfall, probably here they're talking about right before Shabbat. The guy's under pressure and he needs to measure something, or the buyer wants it, and he's not so careful. He doesn't check for the seal of the inspector, or he just says, yeah, whatever, you use whatever it is, because he's in a rush. He won't be so careful about checking the authenticity of the measure, or the inspectors aren't around at that time, and therefore there's a possibility he could use it to cheat. So even though you have all of these protections, we still don't want people keeping around these dishonest weights because of the problem that it could lead to dishonesty and cheating. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a similar braita that supports this. Similar to the statement that we just saw from Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, that you're not allowed to keep dishonest weights in your possession. If you made it into a urinal. These are the honest weights that you can have. The bright that will first go through the dry weights, and then it will go through the liquid weights. The dry weights are the following. Now, just as background to this, and I have a chart that you can get from the website, but the chart shows you the relationship between the dry measures and the liquid measures. That's number one. Number two, it also shows you the relationship between them. There's a famous acronym, which is Kaas Kalav Yagodu. Kaas Kalav, on the top line, are the different measurements. Yagodu is the relationship between them, and you can see that on the chart. A kor has 30 sa'a in it. So you can see that there are 10 eifa in a kor, and there are 3 sa'a in an eifa. So that means that there are 30 sa'a in a kor, or there are 10 eifa in a kor. So that's the relationship between them. The yud and the gimel are the relationship between the kor and the eifa to the sa'a. We just saw before the kav and the log, that there are 4 log in a kav. That means that if something is 1/16 of a kav, then it's a quarter of a log. So here, that's the relationships that are being laid out. So now the Gemara says, these are the measurements you can have. A sa'ah, which actually comprises 6 kav, so that's the biggest measurement you have. Tarkav, the Rishonim in many places translated as trei vikav, means 2 plus 1, which is 3 kav, although the truth is you probably could say that it was tri-kav. Tri-kav, which would mean 3 kav, which is half of the sa'ah. Vichatsitar kav, and half of 3, which is 1.5. So again, we spoke about this before, that they have it by multiples of 2. You have to divide by a half or multiply by 2 to move from one measure to the next level of measure. Vikav, and then you have now a single kav, vichatsi kav, a half kav, virova kav, a quarter kav, and then you have a tuman. Before we saw that the tuman is 1/8 of a kav. A chatsi tuman was 1/16. That means the tuman is 1/8 of a kav. Vichatsi tuman. Chatsi tuman is 1/16 of a kav. Ve'uchla. And then we have the uchla. Uchla, we don't know what it is. Ve'kama hi uchla. What is the size of an uchla? Ed achad mechamisha b'revia. It's 1/5 of a quarter, or it is 1/20 of a kav. So they're a little bit off the normal scaling. We saw that twice in this series. Once from going from 1.5 kav down to 1 kav, as well as going from 1/16 of a kav down to 1/20 of a kav. Those are closer together. Ubemidat alach, in liquid measures, huo said, these are the measures that you have. Hin, we said before, is 12 log. Chatzia hin, 6 log. Shlishita hin, 4 log. Reviita hin, 3 log. Log, and 1 log. V'chetzi log, and then a half log. V'rivi'it, a quarter log. Shminit, an 1/8 of a log. V'chad mishmona, bishminit. And then 1/8 of 1/8, which would be 1/64. V'zehu, kortov. And that is equal to a kortov. Meaning that the kortov represents this echad mishmona, bishminit. Gemara will discuss what exactly the relationship it is. It's really 1/64 of a kav, which is 1/16 of a log, because the relationship between a kav and a log is 4, and so therefore the 1/64 of a kav, which is equals a kortov, is 1/16 of a log, and that would make sense, because we just went from 1/8, and now you're going to 1/16. So again here, in the series, they're generally, you know, in relationships, multiples of 2. There are some exceptions along the way, where you had the half to a third to a quarter, as well as when you went from a quarter down to a log. And then the Gemara is going to go on to ask, why don't we have certain measurements that should have been in there? And the Gemara answers, because people will make a mistake with it. The Gemara says, well, if they're going to make a mistake with it, why aren't we worried about the relationship between other measures that we said over here? Are they close or far away enough in measurement so that people will not get confused? But we're going to stop here, 5 lines down from the top of Tzadi Amud Aleph.